learning tool called Elastic Media Africa. So we'll find out more about that from Grant a bit later in the show. And then after that, we're speaking very retail. So we're looking at a new product called StoreView, which, yeah, we're going to find out from Gerard Eckstein, who is the director for StoreView, exactly what they do. But if you are into FMCG and retail, definitely listen out for that. But before we get to our guest for the day, let's look at our must-read stories on bizcommunity.com. We start out with featured job. We've got senior production manager. This is from Blue Apple. This is in Joburg. Parkhurst, senior level, says dynamic and busy agency in Parkhurst has a vacancy for a senior production manager. If that sounds like you, go have a look. Yeah, that could be your dream job. Second must-read story, we've got pioneering auction on Facebook for Three Ships. Very interesting piece, new in social media, auctioning on Facebook. Have a look at what Three Ships Whiskey have done there. Yeah, some good results for them. Thirdly, we've got Mixit delivers on global Kotex campaign. So yeah, we're going to have a look at what Mixit's doing also on social media, another hot topic for the day. Fourth must read story is, do news agencies have a future? Do they still matter? This is from Anton Haber. Yeah, an opinion piece from him about newspapers and news agencies. So yeah, go have a look there. And then lastly, we've got At Last, the discussion on formalizing neuromarketing in South Africa. This is an opinion piece by Chris Murdake. Yeah, obviously neuromarketing, interesting field for marketers. But yeah, so go have a look at what Chris has to say about that and what's happening in South Africa around neuromarketing. We're going to take a quick song, and then we are going to go to Grant Shippey in Joburg on Skype and see what he has to say about Amorphous Media and EMA, which is Elastic Media, which is their Africa, which is their buying tool. And we'll be back after a little bit of Bon Jovi, old school for the day.
Biz Takeout, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OZ.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeout, the Marketing and Media Radio Show. That was a bit of old school Thursday for you, Bon Jovi with Blaze of Glory. Okay, as I mentioned previously, we're chatting to the CEO of Amorphous Group, which is New Media Group in Johannesburg. We've got Grant Shippey on Skype, and we're going to be chatting to him about his new, essentially an online media buying tool, as far as I understand, called Elastic Media Africa. So let's see if Grant is there. Grant, are you there?
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you. It's good, difficult to follow Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Are you wearing your cut-off jeans shorts is all I want to know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, actually, still.
Still? Yes. You haven't taken off? Well, we're on Skype, so I can't see the bottom of your legs, so it's fine. Okay, I think quickly, let's start out. Obviously, you're a bit of a veteran in the industry. I've seen your 20 years experience. You consider yourself a serial entrepreneur. I think let's take a step back. Basically, firstly, let's look at Amorphous Media, New Media. Who are they?
Sure. We're primarily a digital agency offering marketing advertising services in the digital space, particularly for financial services. So we've dealt and built most of the bank websites in the country and sort of pioneered internet banking 100 years ago.
Okay.
And then obviously have just morphed and kept pace with that. And along the way, we've bought and sold media businesses. We've launched a geo mapping business fairly recently, and then and we've got a joint venture with our parent company Times Media on all of their app development. So actually Sunday Times apps went live last night. That's sort of a big milestone for us.
Yeah.
And then recently we've obviously been looking at and tinkering with this African prospect and seeing what we can actually do from a digital perspective in a measurable way.
Before we look at Elastic Media Africa, which is your new platform, you talk about, and I think it's quite a common theme amongst many companies, is looking at Africa. I know like Nigeria always comes up, Kenya always comes up. Are you guys seeing lots of movement in those regions?
As a group, we're certainly looking at Nigeria, and also we're actually in acquisition mode at the moment with a couple of businesses in Ghana as well. So we're certainly extending the footprint of our content on our titles and our marketing north of our borders.
Okay, and then from your guys' side, are you obviously South Africa's got a number of publishers online. Do Nigeria and Ghana, are you seeing more publishers popping up in those regions?
Absolutely. Just to give you a sense of scale, Nigeria has over 50 million connected individuals. Depending who you ask, we are somewhere between 9 and 15.
Yeah.
So as a market size, it's actually 5, 6, 7 times South Africa.
So there's lots of potential sitting there waiting to be tapped into.
Yeah. So we're, I mean, we've, from our analysis, it's about 18 or 19 countries on the continent that have in excess of 1 million connected individuals.
Okay.
So it's sort of, some of the countries are obviously quite mature, like Nigeria, Kenya, and then others very much emerging. If you look at Uganda, Zambia, Zim. And then some of them actually quite advanced, like Morocco and Algeria, which, like, you know, have obviously benefited from the European infrastructure.
Yes. Okay. So the reason we're speaking to you is because you guys have got a new platform. I don't know if platform is the correct word, called Elastic Media Africa, EMA. What exactly is that?
Okay, so we've obviously been doing a lot of media planning and buying and things like that on behalf of companies, and our group sells a lot of media. Mm-hmm. And we've just been looking, our friends in traditional or above-the-line media have a whole wide range of tools at their disposal to help do plans, particularly products like Telmar and other sort of similar tools.
Yes.
The data space, despite us digital marketers always proclaiming to have the most data and be the most measurable and all of that kind of stuff, the data space and the use of algorithm marketing hasn't actually really been adopted in South Africa at this point. There, lots of the international data-driven digital networks that are providing services, they're not doing the premium end of the market. They're literally... are taking the scraps off the media owners and sort of placing all those little nasty tiny little banners that you see sort of popping up under your favorite game or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's really not a premium media experience.
Okay.
So the idea, we've got the two primary ideas. Is one is that to use maths. Mm-hmm. As a start point. So we've developed for the South African market a media buying tool where we've actually done using various measurement and accredited measurement techniques from industry bodies, we can actually target audiences on a gross rating point basis or an AR basis, if that's understandable. I can explain that if need be, but basically we can say exactly how many people we want to target and how many times we want to show them the ads quite empirically.
Okay.
As opposed to instinctually.
Okay.
So that's one of our tools for the GRP optimizer, which we're rolling out in South Africa.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Is that across web and mobile or specific?
Yes, it is web and mobile.
Okay.
It's predominantly web at this stage because the data is a little bit thin in the mobile space. So the industry accreditation body Effective Measure has... the audience measurement and audience profiling across mobile sites is thin at this point.
Exactly.
So we don't have enough data to actually roll that out effectively, but certainly across the top 100 media sites in the country, targeting South African traffic, we can do that quite definitively.
Okay. So and are there any other offerings around Elastic Media Africa? Because you mentioned the South African, I think it's called GRP, I think you said. Are there any other options? Yeah.
So then what we're doing, if you're familiar with, you probably own a unit trust or two or some form of an ETF or something or other.
Yeah.
And there are all these indexes in the financial world, for argument's sake, the S&P 500 or the FTSE out of the UK or our JSE Top 40, which basically measures movement in an underlying basket of shares in those cases. What we've done is we've taken some of that thinking and said, what if we applied this to media?
Okay.
And said, if we actually profiled top performers as from a website perspective and an audience perspective across multiple countries, how could we actually put an offering together that says, right, so you want mid-income earners, females across these countries, and to actually say, well, hang on, here are the top 30 sites for that audience across those countries.
Okay.
And that's effectively the African offering. It's basically putting together a large array of underlying websites,
yeah.
all of them premium, so largely media owner based,
yeah.
where we can actually control the advertising experience and to actually measure those independently.
Yeah.
So that they're actually accredited and you're not just sort of throwing money where you can't see it.
Yeah.
And then to actually develop the plans in a dynamic way and to then report and deliver results.
Which I don't know if you'd agree with me, but I think a lot of media planning now is just kind of just like a bulk, just send this banner out there and just hope and pray it hits the audience you're wishing to speak
yeah.
to.
Which... Because I think the pay-per-click kind of phenomena has obviously taken a lot of the risk out of that. So basically people will place ads wherever.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorites is like, you know, sort of when some reputable capital bank is on dirtyslats.com.
What are you doing on dirtyslats.com, Grant?
Yeah. I'm multitasking. And the brand reputation is just not managed.
Yeah.
Not effectively managed. And
exactly.
I think if most marketers of reputable organizations found out that half their media was probably unsavory, they wouldn't be terribly delighted.
Okay. Yeah, which is obviously there's various objectives for campaigns as well, which obviously all come into play. So you mentioned that you're going to be looking at Africa as well and the top sites in Africa, and you mentioned that you will be monitoring those sites in terms of performance. How are you guys going to be doing that?
Okay, so initially, effectively we're putting together a premium buying channel. We're a little bit reluctant to call it a network because media owners are a little bit hesitant to join networks and things like that because they just see a massive erosion of value.
Exactly.
It's effectively a buying grouping. The approach is independent measuring on an ongoing basis. So we've procured the services of a international data partner where we're encouraging media owners to actually put beacons onto their website so that we can actually independently measure the audiences.
Yeah.
That is obviously taking a bit of time and a bit of convincing to achieve. And then whilst we head towards that route, we're taking independently verified data sources. So whether it's Google Analytics or Site Catalyst or whatever analytics tools they're actually using at the moment.
Okay. And then, has this product actually launched in South Africa yet? So can people go out and...
We are almost there with... the GRP South African product is live and well.
Okay.
And we are busy doing proposals for that and all of that kind of stuff. So that's very much alive. On the African front, we are hoping to launch with 5 countries by the end of the month, and then probably another 5 to 10 by first quarter next year.
Okay, and then so when doing your marketing for this, what kind of brands, what companies should be looking at EMA?
EMA is, I think, we need to be looking at, in the African context, I think that the job is primarily awareness.
Okay.
The sort of the conversion economy or the e-commerce, sort of is more in a fledgling kind of state. So for argument's sake, if you're a capital bank trying to help people fund bridges and roads and large-scale industrial projects, et cetera, it would certainly be applicable. Retail financial services extending their footprint, as well as FMCG marketers. So if you're washing powder vendor and those kinds of things, to actually look at how you can create a measured reach in a particular location without a dramatic amount of effort, to actually get media done across, you know, sort of 5 or 10 countries, particularly in Africa, is no mean feat.
Yeah,
where you can actually end up spending far more than the actual media cost on management and admin, on the actual buying and management process.
Okay,
which is obviously inefficient.
And then I know you touched on it earlier on, and I think when it comes to digital media, it's one of those things we can say it is measurable if you're comparing it to print and that kind of thing. We can definitely measure the response and all of that. What kind of reports are you guys generating for your clients saying, okay, this was your campaign, this is what happened?
So all of our campaigns will be third party served to use the Geek, okay. To use the Geek Speak.
Yeah.
And depending on the client, there's third party serving and measurement across the entire campaign across all locations.
Okay.
So we can measure mobile, web, and in app across all of those platforms into one repository,
yeah.
And then obviously share that with the client. So the questions, I think what you're alluding to is that we need to sort of apply appropriate measurement to appropriate campaigns.
Yes.
So I think quite often digital marketing is only ever measured by click-through rate and how many sales or how many leads were generated from the campaign,
yeah.
Which kind of gives you a very skewed view of a direct marketing channel.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't account for things that are sort of higher up the sales funnel. So if I take you back to marketing 101 and then talk about awareness, interest, desire, and action,
yeah.
There's no measurement on the awareness.
Okay.
There's no measurement. So other ways you can do that is sort of like, you know, just brand recall. So, you know, do people actually remember the brand after the campaign or the campaign itself? As well as brand search uplift. So after the campaign or during the campaign, are people having seen your brand? Are they actually jumping onto Google and actually searching or seeking out information around it?
Yeah.
It's another sort of very significant measure. And then as well as direct web traffic to your or mobile traffic to your actual locations. Which sort of seem to get like, you know, sort of the big basic measures just seem to be forgotten. Like, you know, what's my click-through rate on this banner?
Yeah.
And you're sort of going, well, actually, you're selling chocolate here.
Yeah.
You want to know that, hi, if I walk into a retail location that I remember the name of your chocolate, that's the objective.
Yeah.
So,
okay, and then,
so a lot more awareness-based measures.
Yeah. And then I'm guessing, you know, I'm taking EMA as an online platform. So people would be logging in and that, or is it an actual physical...
So we've got the algorithm here on a big black box.
Okay.
That we're running off our data partners, and then we're debating making it as sort of a free to air as a more of a planning tool.
Okay.
But obviously our revenue streams are bound quite tightly with the actual media owners.
Yes. Okay. So which leads me nicely to my next question is cost. So if there's a company looking at Elastic Media Africa, what are the costs involved?
So there are two cost drivers. So one is delivering an audience, so i.e. I want a particular type of person.
Yeah.
And the other one is price. As you can well imagine, that a TV station with similar audiences would have different prices for advertising, and you can deliver an individual more cost effectively or less cost effectively.
Okay.
So what we've done with all of our media partners, the negotiated wholesale rates.
Okay.
In that, we then run our algorithms. So for argument's sake, if you're looking for a million LSM 8, 9, 10 South African females,
yeah.
we wind up the algorithm. It runs across and does an optimization exercise across all the media opportunities we have, which are the combinations are well in the septillions.
Yeah.
And that's, for those of you that don't know, that's a one with 27 noughts.
Yeah, it's big.
It's big. Yeah. It's a big number, yeah. So it runs the algorithm. We then get a report back on the various media opportunities that we can actually then suggest to the client. And then our margin is obviously built in that arrangement. So we can deliver a highly cost-effective audience at probably less than the going rates.
Yeah.
Which obviously is our core benefit to customers.
Yeah. So the two basic big tick box benefits is reaching the target audience and better rates. Correct.
Precisely.
Cool.
So greater certainty, less price.
Which is everything you actually want in digital media, really.
Hopefully.
Yes. Cool. We are running out of time. Just quickly before we run, if someone is interested in Elastic Media Africa or Amorphous Media Group, how do they get hold of you or find out more information about the product?
Sure. Obviously, go to our website, which is elasticmediaafrica.com, or come to amorphous.net. That's A-M-O-R-P-H-O-U-S for sugar, .net. Or phone us at our Johannesburg offices on 380-6500.
Cool. And you guys are on Twitter as well, so they can go check
you
out.
We are on Twitter at Amorphous Media. We're on Facebook. We're most places. Send us a beep.
Send you a beep.
However you'd like to send it is up to you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, I think it's an exciting time for you guys. I think there's obviously a bit of work that's gone into this, and I'm thinking there's still a bit of work to come. But yeah, I'm hoping it all goes according to plan.
Thank you very much, Warren.
Cool. Thank you so much. And we'll be keeping an eye out for EMA.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Have a good day. Cheers, man.
Bye-bye.
That was Grant Shippey, who is the CEO of Amorphous New Media Group, with speaking about his new online buying media planning tool. I hope I'm getting that right. It's called Elastic Media Africa. If you are interested, go have a look. You can find them on Twitter. He's given you the website. Go have a look there. We're going to take a quick song from the Black Keys, which isn't always for Biz Takeout. It's the Black Keys band. And then I'm going to be back with Gerard, who is the director for Storeview. We'll be looking at some interesting retail stuff. So we'll see you shortly.
Business drivers and opinion makers, you're listening to Biz Takeout, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeout, the Marketing and Media Show. We had Black Keys first and then a bit of Uncle Bob Marley for the morning straight after that. Welcome back to Biz Takeout. In front of me, we've got Gerard Eckstein, who is the director for a company called Storeview. I was introduced to Storeview and I was a bit blown away by the idea and the concept and the information which it generates. So I'm hoping you're going to be blown away too. So if you are FMCG brand agency people, this is the time to listen. Gerard, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Warren.
Cool. I think let's start out. Obviously, we look at this as very much specific retail and information and category management and planogram and all that kind of thing. So let's look at Storeview. What exactly is Storeview?
Okay. Storeview goes into the trading environment. So it would go into a store like a spa or pick and pay or formal, but also informal retail, which we'll get to that a little bit later, but it gets really exciting there. We go into the trading environment. We've got cameras that we've designed that are unique, and it captures the trading environment in high definition. The easiest way to explain it, it's a bit like Google Street View,
okay,
but in high definition in store. So from that, the information that you get is just very granular. So you can get pricing, you can look at planogramming, and we have programs for planogramming. We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But essentially, we capture the trading environment and we depict the reality of it. So you can see exactly what is going on. The other thing that is different is that it contextualizes it. So if you are doing detergents, for instance, you know what is next to you, you know what's behind you, and you know the pathway, because you actually tour the trading environment or the outlet like a consumer does. And that adds a lot of value.
Cool. I like the definition that you use, like Google Street View, because that's exactly what I thought. Essentially, you're taking a virtual walk through the store and the camera's all HD. You can zoom into the product, see who's next to you. You can zoom into the price, see what other promotions are going on. Firstly, let's take a step back. How was this idea born? Like, where did this come from?
You know, we spent our lives, I spent my life in advertising. My partner spent their lives in marketing. And then we have a partner that is into film production. I think he produced King Solomon's Mines and he's made many, many, many commercials over the years. But what we found from a marketing point of view is that we never, ever really knew what was going on in the trading environment. You know, typically if you work on a brand, you go on field visits with your client. They take you to 10 stores.
Yeah.
8 stores are always perfect and very well done.
Yeah.
1 store is a little bit dodgy and 1 is bad.
Yeah.
But from experience, those things are rigged. So you never really know what is going on in the trading environment.
Yeah.
The clients, the marketers do not know. They think that all this fancy stuff that is produced is executed properly, but it is not. So you really do not know. And that's where the idea came from, is to try and find a device that we could get accurate information and see exactly where am I merchandised? Mm-hmm. Top, middle, bottom? No. Am I on shelf 1?
Yeah.
Am I next to the brand leader? You know, if you launch a new product, what you want to do is you want to be next to the brand leader. These things are negotiated, but they're not always executed. Mm-hmm. So that's really where the idea is. Information in the trading environment.
Okay, so essentially it gives you a view into the reality of the store without actually having to go there, or trusting, because I know a lot of times that you're trusting feedback from merchandisers and people who might not be, I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it, maybe just not that dedicated to the product. They just go, this is my job to put this here.
Yeah, but there's no nice way to put it.
Yeah, I know.
If you are a rep, and I mean, these guys are busy, you know, so it's always easy to sit on one side and criticize people. There is a reality, we'll talk about that a bit later. But, you know, if you are a rep, you're not exactly going to send pictures or information that is not necessarily
negative,
as positive as it should be.
Yeah.
So it becomes very difficult to really understand what's going on. Now, this is quite interesting. A lot of the audits that we've done in store, you've had executions that are not properly done. The first thing that happens is the marketing guys jump onto the trade guys and jump onto the sales guys. The reality, though, is, and this is what StoreView does, is people look at it. So it's various departments. You'll find out that the reps could not do their job because the point of sale material was incorrect or did not arrive on time. The marketing guys did not design, and the agencies design the right stuff because they didn't understand the trading environment. Mm-hmm. So at the end of it, you actually get a very positive picture and everything improves quite dramatically.
There's so many elements out of your control not being able to be there in all the places.
You know, that's the very interesting thing is, I mean, in my years in advertising and marketing, when you develop or launch a new product, you spend untold amounts of time and money and resource designing the product, doing research. Is there a need for the product? Then you do the packaging, and then you do the advertising, and every single step is controlled and researched. So by the time you're ready to launch your new coffee or line extension or whatever it is, everything is 100%. The moment it leaves your store, you've lost control.
Yeah.
You are now in the hands of third parties. Yeah. If you're lucky, you have a merchandising company, but nobody knows what's going on. So that control is completely lost.
Yeah.
With StoreView, you get that back.
Yeah, because you're actually putting yourself in that store and you can see what the competitors are doing, what you're doing, everything around that.
You know, it's like having, let's say you do 800 outlets. It's like having 800 outlets on your desktop. You can go into each and every outlet.
Yeah.
You can have it on an iPad. We've actually found that the iPad application is quite useful, because when you go in a store that you can take the iPad, look at the problem areas, and the whole thing becomes more productive.
Yeah.
So you walk in and say, guys, we need this fixed. What are the issues here? And it gets fixed. That's very positive.
Okay, well, I think that let's touch on that. So what is the actual interface like? So you go on and you literally take a tour. Is it software that you download? Is it online? How do you access it?
It's a whole bunch of things. I mean, the physical way of doing it is we've designed, which we think is a unique system. There's nothing else like this in the world.
Yeah.
It's quite small and portable. And by small, I mean about 8 centimeters.
Yeah.
Is a rig that we take into a store. That enables us to do things really quickly and also incognito. You know, we've done a lot of work in the informal sector.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier, that is just fascinating.
Yeah.
But you don't particularly at a taxi rank or any of those kinds of places want to be too visible with cameras.
Yeah.
You know, people start taking an interest and it detracts from the work that you do.
Yeah.
So it's quite quick to go in. We capture the reality. We then turn it into a 360-degree video almost, mm-hmm. I think is the best way of describing it, even although they're still shots.
Yeah.
And that is what gives us the resolution and also the ability to navigate through the trading environment.
Okay, so you mentioned you guys are going into the informal settlements. Which of the major retailers are you guys currently working with or have access to?
We've done work for all of the major retailers. We've done work for Pick and Pay. We've done work for the ShopRite Group. We've done work for the Spa Group as well. And then obviously the less formal, like 7-Eleven, those kinds of outlets, we do quite a lot of work in there as well.
Yeah, which I think 7-Eleven is an interesting example, because I know you and me had a look at the 7-Eleven around the corner in Main Road, and like Coca-Cola have paid a massive amount of money to have massive billboards and signage at the top of the 7-Eleven, and then as you walk in, there's Jive, I think it's Jive Soda or something, have covered the whole door.
You know, the insights, I mean, really, StoreView is about insights and brand intelligence and trading intelligence that you get. And the Coke thing that you're talking about is fascinating. Coke traditionally do a fantastic job, or so it seems.
Yeah.
Jive have almost with guerrilla tactics gone into the trading environments, and we're picking it up all the time. So as you said, Coke would brand the outlet, they'd put expensive signage up and illuminated signage, and it's Coke everywhere. Jive come in, they look at it because they take the shopper shopper marketing principles.
Yeah.
So they go into the environment, they look at it and they say, well, okay, where are we going to be most visible? Guess what? The two panels at the entrance.
Yeah.
And guess what? Let's do something right at the fridges, right next to Coke.
Yeah.
And it is just unbelievable what these guys are doing for a tenth.
Exactly. A fraction of the cost.
A fraction of the cost. Coke needs to do something about this.
Well, that's why Coke, if you are listening, then there's a store. It's 24 Main Road, I think it is, in Mowbray, Cape Town. Go have a look there. Okay. And then what are the different services offered by StoreView now? So when it comes to on the reporting side.
Okay. One of the problems almost with StoreView is the amount of information that you get. So, and you know, being exposed to research and being exposed to Nielsen and things like that through my career, we distill the information. So although you get the store and you get all the detail, we would go and report back against very specific objectives. So if it is shelf spacing that you're looking at, if it is planogramming that you're looking at, you will get a report back. You'll say, you know, 80% of your stores are on planogram or are correctly planogrammed, 20% or not. And then what we do is the way in which we present the information is there's obviously a management report, there are insights, there are recommendations, but you can click through. So you can actually, where is my planogramming not correct? Where's my pricing not what it should be? Click on a file and it takes you straight through that particular outlet and that particular spot in the outlet as well.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's nice to see the good stuff, but the bad stuff is what you want to know about to fix.
It's very important to look at where the opportunities are. And it's also, you know, another very valuable service is checking of promotional material and the execution thereof. You know, hundreds of millions of rands in this country are being spent on designing point of sale material and promotions and whatever else.
Yeah.
The stuff does not get put up. You know, we did an audit with very fancy promotion.
Yeah.
And you know, the collateral must have been about 16,000 rand, I think it was, per store. Many of the stores, because we also, I don't know if I should use the word sneaky, but we wise, you know. So we go into the storerooms and say,
"Wise does sound
what's
better.
In the storeroom? Why is this not here? Yeah. Why is that not there?" And we found stuff that is actually just dumped outside. It was never put up.
Yeah.
Because there was not pressure and it was not followed through.
Yeah.
But sorry, getting back to the services. So essentially there is, call it the auditing tool if you want, where we can determine where the product is placed, what the product costs, and all of that detail. We can, and as I said, we pinpoint by shelf. So you're on shelf number 1 or 2 or 5 or 6. We obviously in context again with your competitors, so you can see what you look like in relation to your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also have a look at the entire trading environment. You can look at the impact. It's another thing, you know, some agencies actually use us where when new pack designs are done, they place the packs into the StoreView files. We create the 360 degree files again, and you can actually look at what your product looks like. Does it have impact in shelf? The other thing that we've done is we've just pioneered 360 degree video.
Okay.
And we've done some fascinating trials on that. We've actually just done something where we looked at the behavior of beer shoppers in liquor outlets. So we got the 360 degree video running, and you actually monitor the people. So you can track them. You can see here comes a dude into the shop. You can track him through, and you can see how they pause or don't pause.
Okay.
And it's absolutely fascinating. We call them the beer blinkers.
Okay.
These guys rush into a store completely angst-ridden until they get to the fridge.
Yeah.
The moment they're at the fridge, they relax and they got their hands on their cold beer.
Okay.
Then they move to the till. Now, what's very significant about that is the shopper pathways and what material you should place where. Everybody talks about shopper marketing, but here we demonstrated as you enter a store, you are not seeing those big bulk displays because they don't mean anything. You've got blinkers on.
Yeah.
So the kind of communication that you place in the store is influenced by the insights that you get from StoreView.
Yeah.
So when they get to the fridge in this example, they're ready to experiment. So if you've got another brand or another category that you want to get them to try, that's where you want to do it.
So this is actually, it's not just looking at what's happening in the retail environment in terms of brand, you're looking at shopper behavior now as well. So it's another element of reporting.
Very much so. I mean, the pathways are really interesting and exactly how the shoppers behave.
Yeah.
Sorry, just a Another innovation that we're busy trialing at the moment is profiling. So what we've got is we've got very specialized cameras that are erected at a place where you know they're not that visible at retail. We link into the tool slips. So we can profile who buys what. I can tell you who buys Savannah.
Okay.
I can tell you what they look like. So, you know, they're 500, 600, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And what is absolutely fascinating about this is we've done it on brands that I've worked with in the past, you know. And you look at it and you say, no. But those are not actually the consumers that we think we have.
Yeah.
But what makes it more interesting is you see what else they're buying.
Mm.
So when they buy Ariel, they also buy this kind of stay softener or fabric softener.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about that is you can start merchandising your product next to that category
Cross,
where you would never ever have done it before.
Cross-merchandising, like
you know, just a quick example.
Yeah.
We discovered that people that drink ciders also buy craft beers. Many of the cider drinkers buy craft beers. So ciders are one side of the store, craft beers on the other side. So you're saying, well, hey, why don't you put your ciders next to craft beers?
Yeah.
Or your craft beers next to ciders?
In the end of the day, it's benefiting the brand plus benefiting the actual outlet, because that's increased basket size potentially. So,
It's very important that, you know, it reduces the frustration that shoppers experience. And I mean, all the retailers have an issue. You know, pricing is about the same. Everybody is competitive.
Yeah.
And there's all this talk about how do you improve the shopper experience. And again, StoreView is able to do that.
Yeah, which is awesome. Okay, we are running out of time a little bit, but we still got a couple of questions. In your opinion, who should be looking at StoreView? Who should be looking to use StoreView?
Certainly, if you look at a brand, you know, but within manufacturing organizations, it's very important to trade. It's very important to the marketing people. It's very important to distribution. It's a fantastic, one of our clients is using it as a training tool.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic training tool that they deploy with their reps. It is also used when you are negotiating space for the next season or next year.
Yeah.
Where shall I build my gondola ends? What should my gondola ends look like?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that we identified, there's a major distribution merchandising company, and they were not doing a particularly good job. So the client said, well, these acts are not doing their jobs. We actually investigated the thing, because I didn't mention we also do box pops and we also do video interviews and so on.
Yeah.
And just because we're curious, we just tend to do this stuff.
Okay.
And we started talking to their merchandisers without anybody knowing. And we suddenly discovered that they did not have flight plans. So the guys did not know how to erect a display. So again, it goes back to the thing, well, where is the problem? It is the marketing people, it's distribution, it's the whole thing, you know. So that's what makes it so exciting, really.
Yeah, so essentially all you need to do is find the bottleneck to solve the bigger problem.
It's exactly that.
Yeah. Okay, and then this question comes up a lot, I hear a lot, is what is the cost? Which I'm sure this is going to be a difficult question for you to answer, because it's all dependent, but... Yeah,
it is a difficult question because it depends on how frequently. You know, some of our clients, we do work every month, so obviously there's economy of scale.
Yeah.
Some of them are national campaigns that we do, so that's slightly more expensive. But to answer your question, you're probably looking at about 2,000 Rand to about 3,000 Rand per store, depending on the number of categories that you do, depending if it's national or international, actually. You know, we have a lot of experience. I worked extensively in Africa before, and certainly so did my partner. So we are able to go into Angola and outside of here, and that's another advantage of StoreView, is that how you look at the trading environment. So I'm taking my brand into Angola or Zambia or wherever it is. What does it look like? You know, what is the real trading environment?
Yeah, specifically for different regions like that where you might not, you think you don't know it as well as what you think you know South Africa. We are running out of time. I've got two more questions very quickly. If someone is interested in StoreView, how do they get hold of you? Website, cell phone, email, whatever it may be.
We have a website. It's StoreView, StoreVue, .co.za. It is up and running at the moment. It's possibly not as good as it should be.
I've got it up here. It's not too bad, I don't think.
But you know why that is. We're all a bunch of advertising suits. So when you have to do your own thing, you don't listen to creatives. So we've actually now found somebody that's going to do it for us and not interfere.
What do creatives know? And then, okay, my last question for you, we always end the show on a question like this, is who would win in an arm wrestle between you and Roger? Who is your partner?
Who invented the arm?
No. Who would win at an arm wrestle?
Oh, I certainly would win.
Without a doubt. I've seen Roger. He's quite...
It is an intellectual arm wrestle. The physical one, he might very well win.
You think he'll take it?
Yes.
Cool. Gerard, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, obviously, we've chatted about it. Like, I'm super excited about Storeview. I think it's so innovative. I think it's such a cool idea. And I think it just delivers such interesting information, which you don't normally get to see. And I think it happens a lot of companies. You think you know, but you actually don't.
Yes.
So, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We'll keep a lookout. Go check out, as Gerard said, Storeview, storeview.co.za for all the information. All the contact details are on there as well. Thanks for listening to this week's show. I will be back next week, same time, same place. Podcast on bizcommunity.com. Go check it out there. And we'll see you next week, Thursday, 9 o'clock. Keep well until then. And I'll leave you with Foo Fighters. And then I'm giving you over to Imbo Live. We'll take over from 10 o'clock.